On today's episode of On the Clock with Kristen Peek, we're joined by Jordan Richard, co-founder and CEO of Swiss Cultures, one of the best creatives in the basketball space. Today, we're talking all things NBA draft. We really get into it. We talk Cody Williams, Zach Edey, Bronny James, and all the international talent getting ready to hit the NBA. Let's get into it. Welcome to On the Clock with Kristen Peek. I'm Kristen Peek, NBA draft analyst for Yahoo Sports. We'll be coming to you each week between the NBA draft lottery and the NBA draft itself with everything you need to know about this year's upcoming class. Today, I'm so excited. Literally, I've been trying to get this guest on. I think this is week three. I was like, are you here? Are you home? We're joined by Jordan Richard. He's the co-founder and CEO of Swiss Cultures, played several years overseas. He is in the gym all the time. Jordan, thank you for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
No, I really appreciate you. This is a great opportunity for me. I mean, you've been in this game for long enough, and I really respect what you have, I mean, going. And the biggest thing, like you said before, just being in the gym all the time. That's how you know someone really knows their stuff from the starting point is being in the gym, because you got to see these players. You can't just be looking online at the highlights. You got to really see these players live. And that's why I really respect what you're doing and how you continue to not stop at your peak. You continue to keep rising. You know, that kind of rhymes a little bit, but, you know, I just really respect what you do. So I appreciate you having me.
Like you said, this isn't a crash course. Like, we're 2 weeks from the draft. You and I have been in the gym covering, interviewing, everything, analyzing, breaking down film on these guys for the last 2 or 3 years. And I know, like, all the fans out there, if you don't know that you've seen Swiss Cultures, you've probably seen it pop up because you guys have the best content. And it's literally one of my favorite follows. I love the work that you and your team do. But how did Swiss Cultures, like, get started? What was the building behind it?
Man, it's funny you said that. It was honestly, man, I got to give a lot of credit to Luka Doncic. I know he's in the finals, but I was getting tired of arguing with people about guys like Luka and others, because, you know, during the draft, a lot of times you see during the draft, people are like, who is that? He got drafted from where? You know, and, you know, I played overseas with so many guys that I used to watch on CBS, and I'm like, oh, wow, he's still playing, like Edgar Sosa, guys like that, you know, overseas. And then I would see Boban and all them playing in Red Star. And I'm like, there's no platform really highlighting basketball internationally. So 2018, we started, you know, the page, and then, you know, EuroLeague started following, and then you have those moments where it's like, okay, like, oh, I'm up to something. And then I started learning how to use my camera while I was playing overseas. A lot of my teammates kind of trying to figure out, like, what are you doing? Like, this doesn't really make sense. And then, yeah, I came down. I had Shea's pre-draft, which was my first in 2018, and I was recording workouts. Drew Holiday, you know, he blessed me, and Phil Handy, you know, they took me under their wing and let me record workouts. It was adjustment for Drew at first, because Drew was like, man, you're a cameraman? Like, what are you doing? I thought you were playing overseas. I'm like, I'm still working out and training, but I'm going to record your workouts instead of working out with you. So that's kind of how it went a little bit.
Have you had a moment, because I'm going to ask you about a viral moment from last season, but have you had a moment, you know, we put so many hours in the gym being with these players. I've had my moment. I'll tell you what my moment was, but have you had a moment where it's like people are finally letting you have a seat at the table? They're finally respecting you and just giving you no longer have to explain who you are and what you're doing in the gym. They already know who you are. Like, do you have a moment, a favorite moment that stands out where it's like, okay, I'm onto something. I'm doing something right.
I would say doing a lot of stuff with NBA, doing a lot of collabs with them. That's kind of like when I started feeling like, okay, we're starting to be seen. But I feel like, you know, seeing the Dave McMenamins when I go to the Lakers, or, you know, seeing Gavoni, seeing all the different pieces around this game, I think that kind of humbles me a lot, because I see the access that you guys get. And I know it's a totem pole on how you continue to improve with this. And, you know, that's somewhere where I look at you guys, like, where I'm like, you know, that's where I want to be at. So it's not really, I don't think I've had my moment, but I would say the NBA was kind of like, okay, you know, we're starting to get there a little bit, but I'm still trying to, you know, I look at you guys as pieces where I'm like, yo, I'm still trying to get up there. Because people don't realize, when you ask questions in the NBA, it goes in a totem pole. And a lot of times I might not get called on because people don't know me. So I think that's where my humbling points are right now. So I'm trying to get there still.
My humbling moment was this past All-Star weekend, and it was for Adam Silver's press conference. And there's 200 reporters in there. He's only taking I don't know how many questions. And so I raised my hand, and they called on me. And it wasn't just like, who is this? It was like Adam Silver gave me a, oh, hey, like, nice to see you. And I'm like, what is that? Like, I've maybe met the man once. And then I remember my sister said, because I sent the clip and they show the person asking a question on camera first. And then they show the answer. So I sent it to my family because that was like a cool moment for me. And all my sister said was, why is everybody dressed up in suits and you're in a hooded sweatshirt? And I'm like, I can't change who I am. That's just who I am. But yes, me and Jordan have been in many gyms together. I mean, McDonald's All-American game. We went through a full day of practices, media, and then I walk into a 9 p.m. workout with AJ Johnson. And who's there? Jordan. And so I, likewise, the respect is there. I want to talk about a few players in this draft. You being a hoophead, last year, you asked Cody Williams about his path to the NBA and going to a mid-major school as opposed to, you know, the blue blood or even transferring out. And then you asked about Cody, his brother. He was at the time a five-star prospect, McDonald's All-American, choosing Colorado. And he gave like an answer that went viral. I feel like everybody picked that up. When you were asking him that, and he was, because there's a certain amount of respect that players and coaches and people answering questions they give you. You know, so if they respect you, they're going to give you a good answer. When he was answering that question, did you know, okay, this is going to be an answer that is going to get picked up, it's going to go everywhere? Or were you just asking because you were genuinely curious?
Man, it's crazy. It's just like you. I just asked because I was genuinely curious, especially in this new culture.
Yeah.
This culture has changed a lot from when I was playing. So, you know, when you see a player go to University of Colorado, you know, when they start to have the buzz, a lot of times people would decommit and go somewhere else. So I was genuinely curious because I saw his brother, you know, go to Santa Clara, and, you know, during a time where he could have probably transferred too. You know, I kind of want to hear, you know, their thought process with it because they're both very smart, you know, intelligent human beings. So I want to, you know, genuinely know that. And now look at Colorado, look what they were able to do. I mean, you got Tristan, you got KJ, and you got Cody. Who would have thought? If we would have said that last year, they would have three potential first-round picks. What would we have said? Probably not, you know, but look what they were able to accomplish. So it's just crazy how things work with all that too, right?
Right. And with Cody specifically, I mean, we're seeing him projected in the lottery. Everybody's looking at that 12 spot with Oklahoma City where his brother plays. But where do you think his best fit is at the NBA? Because we have to all remember, he is 19. He's not his brother. He's not Jalen. Jalen was a four-year player, so he still has a lot of upside and potential. But there are some of those glimpses of a very versatile defensive player like a Jaden McDaniels. And so I think wherever he gets drafted, they're going to be draft and stash and really patient with his development. But I'll say this. Outside of OKC, where do you think is a good fit for Cody?
Man, it's funny. I thought you were going to just stick on the Oklahoma City one. And right now, his has been very intriguing to me. And that's why, you know, that's why I respect this, because the Cody Williams is difficult right now, trying to figure out where he's going. I would say Chicago right now because of his shooting presence. But I think the biggest question mark is what Memphis is going to do for me. I think Devin Carter being around that, you know, Pops is there, you know, Anthony Carter, his dad, and then he's really kind of blowing up. I really want to see what Memphis does, because in this draft, you see players start to fall, then they go into certain spots. So with him, I'm like, do you go another guard? Do you go wing? Because then that could kind of set up, you know, Cody in a sense. So that's kind of what I look at. And for him, I'm like, okay, spacing the floor. As you see in this NBA playoffs, if you're not able to space the floor, you're not going to be able to play, number one. So Cody shot 41 from the three. His splits are kind of crazy, to be honest with you. So I was thinking in terms of it, do you draft another guard, get Cody White upset, or do you go wing? And that's my thought process right now. I'm like, Cody might actually, you know, actually fit with Chicago in terms of like, look, we're going to show White that he's the guy. You don't have to compete anymore. We don't have to go over this point guard thing again. And then, you know, bring him in a floor spacer to help. You know, Lonzo's coming back and all that. So it doesn't bring that turmoil. So I've been looking at that spot. But also, I mean, if Jalen's there, Jalen's a max guy. I hope we finally admit that Jalen's a max guy. So I would love to keep Jalen happy. So I would think OKC has to think about it or go big. But what bigs would you draft in that range is kind of the thought, unless you go Tijon. So that's my thought process. What about you?
This is what I think will be super telling on draft night. You're looking at 12, you're looking at OKC. If Cody is on the board and they don't take him, because you have to think of OKC has a mastermind in Sam Presti. They have two of the best intel scout gatherers with Corey Evans and Andrew Slater. So they're going to be getting all the information on every single player. So if they pass on Cody, I think that's more telling than if they take him to keep his brother happy. You know, and we don't know. We all ask Cody at the combine, do you want to play with your brother? Oh, it'd be a dream come true. Our age gap, we've never been able to play 5-on-5 competitively. So we're always saying that we'd have to make the NBA for that to happen. And now it's actually a possibility. They're right there in that draft range. But I'm with you. I honestly think there's going to be a lot of, you know, what happened with Cam Whitmore last year. We're going to see a lot of that this year, because teams are holding their cards close to their chest because they want to be able to pick the player that they want wherever they're drafting. And if that's Devin Carter at 9 to Memphis and Rob Dillingham is still on the still there, where does he go? He starts to fall. Ron Holland is another player that I've been hearing that could possibly fall. And so I think, you know, we're going to see those, whoa, where did this come from? Keyshawn George and the lottery to Jean to 6, whatever. Like, we're going to start seeing that happen and the shock of that. And you're seeing players in the lottery that have been projected there all year are going to slip. And that's going to be, and it's going to be even crazier because now we have a 2-night draft. And so even if you've been told the entire year by your agent, by everyone, you're projected first round. It's no longer you wait 5 minutes for Mark Tatum to take the stand. You have to wait an entire day. Like, this whole draft is going to be insane. I kind of love it. Another player I want to ask you about, because you mentioned in the Bulls at 11, and I was just asked previously about rumblings of the Bulls possibly taking Zach Edey at 11, which I think is crazy. It's insane. But I know there are people out there that love Edey, and they do think his game is going to translate. Are you a fan of Zach Edey, or are you more err on the side of caution?
Man, Zach has been, you know, especially his development, you kind of got to look at that. I mean, a lot of people don't even realize. I mean, he started playing basketball as a sophomore in high school. Yeah. I mean, he was a baseball kid. Imagine that at his high, you know, playing pitcher too as well. Kind of crazy background story. But with him, I think it's so tough, you know, picking a big now, you know, at that spot, because number one, you got to watch the NBA playoffs and don't look at Zach's highlights from the offensive side. That's not what people are concerned with. I think more so they're concerned with is you getting headhunted. And what we mean by headhunting is like you get a switch and that's what teams are focusing on defensively. Foot speed for him. A lot of teams are going to play him in pick and roll the whole game until he's out of the game. So his biggest thing is going to be able to showcase that he can be in pick and roll coverage, you know, against a lot of these guards. Because as you can see right now, even in this Dallas, you know, Celtics series. Sorry about that. Yeah, like we're looking for switches the whole game. That's the biggest thing with Zach right now, is just seeing defensively if he fits more so than anything. And offensively he does, but defensively is my biggest question mark for me, because a lot of the time in college, he's sitting in the paint.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's no defense at 3 seconds.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say that. To his credit, though, he's probably sick of answering this question. He answered it several times at the combine. But he did say, look, every team needs an anchor in the defense. If you watch what I did at Purdue, it was more than just back to the basket. There were a lot of screens. There were a lot of pin downs. There were a lot of inside out from the elbow, not extending to the three-point line, except that one time when he banked in a three. And so I think he's slowly convincing people, but I'm not touching him in the lottery, not even close. especially if Khalil Ware is on there. Eve Missy, you're drafting a guy with upside. I'd even take Kyle Filipowski over him in the front court if you are definitely targeting a front court. Now, if he's hanging around there in the back half of the first for like established teams that just need a secondary big to give somebody some minutes to cool off, because Zach Edey is 7'5", 300 pounds. How, playing 82 games a season? Like, that is, I can't wrap my brain around that. You look at what Victor Wembanyama did under 25 minutes a game, and he's a superstar. I don't see Zach Edey with that output. And so that's why I think there's more value taking him if you're going to take him at the back half of the first. But that's just me. And I'm not making the pick. And my job isn't on the line. But I said it. If he is a lottery pick and he doesn't pan out, it's a fireable offense.
Man, in this draft, do you get fired off of making decisions on this one?
That's fair.
Because can you make the argument that this is a tough draft and we just kind of just went with what we thought at the moment? I mean, you know, you do want a backup big. I know Vooch, the contract situation is always getting brought up for him.
Right.
The situation. But at the end of the day, you know, you're like, we chose one of the most dominant players in college basketball. So at the same time, but in this draft, as you look, and I'm going to ask you this, there's a lot of different things that I've been looking at. Number one, this might be the first draft we have two players that have been transferred, that have transferred to a school three times. And now we start to see the older players too get a lot more love in this draft than they normally would. So do you get in trouble for making that decision because you went a little older and, you know, you went big instead? And Minnesota had success too. So can we look at that play too as well or no?
Sure, you can. And I want to say something about the transfer rule. And I was talking to a scout about this yesterday. We always look at, right now we're focused on the negatives. There's the transfer portal is out of control. There's over 1,000 kids in it every year. They're just trying to chase the NIL money. But without the transfer portal, we wouldn't have found Dalton Knecht. He would have still been at Northern Colorado. And yes, NBA scouts would have found him. But then it's the question, you're dominating the Big Sky. How are you going to do against NBA competition? How are you going to be in a Power Five? And we got to see that. And now he's a projected top 10 pick. So when you're looking at like the half glass full of different scenarios, you can convince anybody of anything. Like, I'm sure if we sat here and had a long enough conversation about the positives of Zach Edey, I could probably come around to it. You know, but for me, it's just looking at the NBA game, and you're right. Defensively, he's a burden. And so what are you going to do with him, you know, if your main big, if your starting center gets hurt? Who's he guarding? He's not guarding Nikola Jokic. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this. If he plays well, do we start to see a shift in teams considering drafting bigs like Zach?
That's a great question. Because we saw,
I thought about it when Minnesota, because they went big, and I was
three,
like, at some point,
footers. Yes.
Yep. At some point, we're going to bring that back. It always comes back in cycles. So it's like, if they hit, then what happens? Does it change the whole landscape of what drafting is going to be like? You know, if we draft a big like Zach and he does well?
I don't think it changes the landscape, because I think Zach is doing his best in the pre-draft process to adjust to the NBA game. We saw it with his three-point shooting at the combine. He's trying to make a point, you know, that he can be effective in the pick and pop. And so for me, it's not necessarily we're back to like the Shaq Hakeem days where it's the back to the back battle, the turnaround jumpers, the dream shake, whatever. I think it's more the bigs realizing that they have to adjust to being more versatile as well. Because I'm sorry, Naz Reid was not shooting threes in high school. That is something that has evolved with him.
Nas has always had the handle, though. So that's probably why it seemed like he was shooting a lot of threes. Like, his handle's always kind of been there for me. But, like, yeah, like, man, Nas is about to get big pay.
Dude, I'm so happy for him. I'm so proud of him. Undrafted to a very important role in a Minnesota team that's going to be very good, you know, in the Western Conference for years to come, you know, with what they have. All right, the last player I want to talk about before we go to break. I love this discussion. It's so easy.
Yeah,
Bronny James. We were standing there at his media scrum. You and I have both been in the gym with him just throughout high school, at McDonald's, at Hoop Summit. You went to his Clutch Pro Day. I loved your question that you asked him. And by the way, I love that, like, Bronny obviously knows you and I, and he kept like looking over to our side to ask questions.
We weren't next to each other. That's funny. We were next to each other.
He just kept looking over like, okay, can you guys ask, can you ask me a question? Because 20 minutes is a long time for someone who's never done any media scrums that long ever. But I loved your question about his work ethic and what he does in the gym behind closed doors. You've seen it. I've been in the gym with him. He's very intentional with his workouts. He's getting there early. You know, it's obviously something he gets from his dad. Is that something, it's something that people don't realize. Do you think people are going to be surprised by Bronny's production in the NBA once he adjusts to the pace and physicality?
Yeah, I think number one is that more people need to really realize that a lot of these players that you see, you got to play a role in the NBA. I mean, you have your top two scorers. A lot of these players, unless you go to a bottom team, is, you know, you're going to play into a role system. I think with Bronny, he plays the game the right way. And I know you probably hear that all the time. It's like, you, this is why Jerry McCain, I knew he was going to get drafted from the from day one, is that he's going to space the floor, shoot at a high percentage. I know at USC, a lot of people are looking at the stats or whatever, but you got to factor in, man, it's a blessing that he's even playing right now, number one. I thought he wasn't going to do this whole year of hoop, and he ended up coming back. That shows a lot right there. Because Bronny could have easily said, you know what, I'm not going to play this year.
Right.
The fact that he even, you know, had enough courage to do that, majority of people wouldn't have done that. So you got to give him some credit in that space. Number two, he can guard and defend. Number one, you can play him. You know, I think he'll pick up 94 feet. You'll start seeing that a little bit more from him. I wanted to see that a little bit more during the combine. You know, but he was playing a little bit of 1-2 combo.
But how is he going to go? I mean, he was having to guard freaking Jamal Shedd. Like, you can't pick him up 94 feet. Exactly. I'm sorry. Like, you gotta know your personnel.
Exactly. And he's smart. So exactly, like, you know, in that retrospect, like, that's one thing about him is that he's smart. IQ is high. Number one, I mean, work ethic got to be there too as well. And I think that's one thing that, you know, I want to ask him. First thing, you know, at a pre-draft workout, shoot, he was there, what, 45 minutes early? Like, you don't really see that. Kids strolling in there, you know, probably eating a Pop-Tart before they go in. You know, he's still young. Like, so for him, that always stuck out to me because with LeBron, I have to be at a game at like 2 p.m. when the game started at 7:30. Because if you say 2:30 with LeBron, he's going to be out there 15 minutes earlier than that. And think about that. I'm there at 2 and the game started at 7:30. Like, and it just reminds me of the same thing with Bronny. And, you know, just a little bit more about him. You guys also got to factor in, too, like, if he does go second round, because I know that's the thought process.
Yes.
You got to look at what Rich Paul has done over the last 3 years with all his players. We can look at Talen Horton. He got a guaranteed deal, number one. Number two, Chris Livingston got a guaranteed deal.
At 58.
Let's look at another. Exactly. And then Brandon Boston got a guaranteed deal. Bronny's next up, and we probably will see a record number in terms of the guarantee. So I don't care where he goes, to be honest, because I know he's going to be taken care of. But you got to look in that process, too, with this in terms of the draft. Like, if he does go second round, what's that deal looking like? That's one thing people need to look at. Oh, don't say, oh, he got drafted second round if he does, if that was to happen. Look at what is guaranteed in there and look at all the other picks that are around him and if they got that guarantee. So I want that to be brought up more so, too, just in case he doesn't go in the first. And people look at that part because I think that's a huge part to it.
You think there's any chance he goes anywhere but the Lakers? Because I think Rich Paul saying, we're not going to take a two-way. we're, you know, you got LeBron is already established. You got Bryce at Sierra Canyon. They're very happy in Los Angeles. I feel like every team, we're only going to work out for the Suns and Lakers. I feel like every team is just going to throw up their hands and be like, you can have them at 55.
Man, it's tough when you kind of force your hand. You know, I don't know what workouts he's. I mean, everybody's reporting that it's only been the Suns and the Lakers. A lot of times, teams do. You know, they listen to that. That tells a lot. A lot of times when players don't work out for a team, so I think they're just going with what they want. You know, and you know, you got to kind of see what Bronny wants at that moment. So that's kind of why you see those two names that are coming up all the time, but I don't know if a team would knock at the door, you know, and do it.
Because I
don't know. Do you ruin your relationship and do that?
That's,
draft him? And
Adam Finkelstein convinced me. He said, Clutch is a monster agency. If Rich Paul calls you and says, don't do that, just let him go to the Lakers. Are you going to risk that? with whoever he's bringing up or whoever he has as a client? Are you as a team going to risk that? I don't think it's worth it.
I'm not doing that, especially if I want to sign like a massive free agent at some point. And then I did that, and then having to have that conversation, I'm not doing that. So I will listen to what Rich is telling me in terms of it and just respect it.
Right.
I mean, that's how it goes.
Right. All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more insights on the current and future NBA draft classes. Welcome back to On the Clock with Kristen Peek. I'm joined by Jordan Richard. We are having a great conversation about these players. I love it so much. I want to switch to the overseas players. You played overseas for quite a few years. What is it about the game and the way it's played over there and the development of these players and when they're hitting the league that separates them from the typical college route? Because we've seen it now time and time again, where international guys come in and they're ready day one and they don't need that big adjustment at the NBA level.
Number one, I'm going to say they're not scared of us no more. Remember, that's number one. Once LeBron and them leave, all those idols that people used to look up to, those are gone. I mean, look what's happening in France. I mean, a lot of these players are going to grow up. They already been playing with Wimby. So the fear level is gone. I'm going to start off with that, number one. It's because once you feel like you're there with someone, then that changes a lot. Number two, I think at Eurocamp, I think it kind of really showed. You know, I was in Treviso last week, and number one, ball movement. Like with us in America, like we pass the ball one time in transition, we get in the shot. Maybe two times max. Over there, they pass, swing, they're going to get the best looking opportunity in. And I think the third one, and I asked Jokic this, I've asked several players this. I've asked Rudy Gobert this. Every player, you know, even Nolan Treor, who's going to be, you know, a lottery pick next year, he was like, I asked them, like, what's the difference between basketball here and there? They say, and I don't think they mean it in this way, but they're trying to translate it. So, but they say their mind. And meaning is like their IQ compared to ours. They feel like we're athletic, but they feel like they think the game better than us, which is crazy. Because in basketball, in order to win a championship, you got to think the game, number one. But they say that meaning because right now, I think we're in a space, especially when it starts off with our development, where we're not learning how to play, you know, the right way of basketball, number one. We're going to take 8 million dribbles, I mean, to get to a spot. It's not realistic. It doesn't really translate to, you know, what it is. I think a lot of players, how they're training right now is we're training to be the next LeBron and next, you know, Kobe and MJ instead of learning how to play a role. That's why I like Jared McCain so much. I keep bringing this up because I knew that he was going to outsmart all these kids that take 8 million dribbles to get to a spot, do a runaway three to the corner, score 30, and people are like, oh, I love that. But I want to see something that translates. And I think that's our biggest problem in the States and compared to there is that they're going to go into a workout. They might not take a million dribbles. They're going to go get to a spot, do a one dribble pull up, probably the most basic, boring workout that we probably won't think is attractive here, but it gets the job done. And I think that's big. What about you? What do you think?
I mean, I love that you said they're no longer afraid of us. That is spot on. And just the confidence that these players are going to have coming up now, playing against, you know, turning pro at 14 or 15, playing against competition that they know is going to help them translate to the NBA if they eventually want to get over here. And we saw with Nolan Treor. Nolan Treor is a French point guard. He's projected to be a top five pick in next year's draft. He was at Nike Hoop Summit. And everyone that was in the gym, you had VJ Edgecombe saying, he's the best point guard I've ever played with because of that quick decision making. He's not taking a million dribbles to get the offense set. And then VJ said he's also fast as hell. So that helps as well. But yeah, I am calling it the Wimby wave. And there's no shortage of talent coming up from France and other European countries. And I think you're right. Like once we see this wave of LeBron and these older players leave the league, it's going to definitely turn more into a global game, more so than it has already. And then I want to touch on, we'll do a quick fire real quick. Okay. On the top international guys projected in this year's draft, just give me your two favorite things about their game. We'll start first with Zachary Richichet, potential number one pick.
Number one, you got to get your credit for Zachary. You caught this in the beginning. So if I had like a soundboard to do that, I would push like 8 million bombs because you're the first person I saw in the mock to have him high. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Number one, he went to Borg from Asheville.
Yep.
Kind of followed the Wimby route. So you know what? I'm going to go to a spot, I'm going to play, and I'm going to show people that how good I am. I think his shooting ability, number one. You can space the floor. You can shoot the ball. You can put the ball on the floor. I would say number two is his toughness. I saw that at Hoop Summit with him. A lot of players would kind of test him because they didn't know who he was. And, you know, he didn't back down. I think those are the two things that have impressed me the most, because that's what you're going to need coming down here is people going to test you at all times. But, you know, how do you respond to being tested? That's number one. That's how I always look at a lot of players coming from overseas too as well.
Yeah.
And I think those two elements, and you could put the ball on the floor too, but shooting the ball for me is a lot in this game.
Yes. It's like a chef's kiss watching Risha Shea shoot the ball. It's just like the high release, the quick release. Like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, Alex Saar. Two things you love about his game.
Number one, he can pick up and guard. I think that's not talked about enough. I think his on-ball defense, as you see, he can crowd people's space. He can crowd guard space. He can switch on, I would say, 1-4, 1-5, you know, and guard those positions. I say 1-4 because I know we look at him as a 5, but he can guard and switch off on those spots. And, you know, I think offensively, we haven't seen, you know, what he can become.
Next player up, Tijan Salon, another French wing who was awesome in the playoffs to close out the season. Two things that you like about his game.
Man, number one, it's kind of funny. His is a little different for me because I think offensively he has a unique skill set, but I think it's untapped. He shot, what, 15? He only had 15 baskets off the bounce. I think he knows what he can become. I think teams are going to see like that he's more of a project because he can put the ball on the floor, but he doesn't, you know how to make his moves. A lot of his moves are off a drag dribble. You know, I think he could put more on the ball, you know, off the ball. And I mean, on the ball, like, you know, use his handle a little bit better. And I think his shooting ability is really good, you know, for his size, but mobility too as well. I named like three.
Yeah.
But I started off with one because of his potential. I think off the bounce for him is going to be something that we see him continue to grow and be better at. So I think that's the first one. And then number two is going to be his ability to catch and shoot as a big with his mobility.
Yeah.
Because what you can do with him is you can call what we call a veer. You can have him kind of look like he's setting a screen, like a ghost screen, and then have him, you know, flash and shoot a three.
Yes.
And I think that's key. Or cut to the basket with his athleticism. So those are the ones that I like about him too.
Nikola Topic, who we won't probably see him play, hit the court in the NBA for a full year after he partially tore his ACL. But what we saw from him early on in the Serbian league with his passing and playmaking, those are my two things. What do you like about him?
Man, Topic, man, I'm sad that he got hurt, number one. I think Topic's ability to get to the basket, I think, has been something that I did like about him. At USC, they played against USC in their early preseason game. He was getting to the basket at will in that game. And, like, you know, with him, he has an edge to him. And I think in a lot of times in Serbia, like, you start to see edgy players come out of there. And I think he has that Serbian edge that I do like about him. I don't think people realize that Luka has a little bit of Serbian ties there, too. But Topic has, like, that Serbian edge to him that I really like about him. And number two, I think the passing, like you mentioned before, I think, you know, that really sticks out. He makes a lot of good decisions, you know, off the read. And that's why Red Star played him. I think people need to take into consideration some of these guys and then look at, like, what teams ended up playing them. Like, Red Star normally doesn't play their guys. They'll just leave them over at Mega. But they were like, you know what, hold on, come with us. You can play a little bit. Let's play. And then even off the injury, they played him. That kind of says a lot to someone's ability, especially coming from there in a spot where winning is everything. And for me, I would just say those two things.
I love it. This is so much fun. But I don't want to keep you much longer.
No, hey, we can go. Hey, I got some stuff for you, man. I want to know if you've heard this stuff too. I want to throw something at you if that's okay.
Okay, you go. We'll We'll switch promises. The table. Promises. Oh,
I heard
my
Tyler.
Lord.
I heard Tyler got a promise. I heard Daron Holmes got a promise.
Yes. I haven't heard Tyler.
Baylor got a promise.
Yes. I've heard Daron had a promise. I heard Baylor had a promise. I'm assuming Johnny Furphy has a promise because he turned down a massive NIL deal at Kansas to stay in the draft. And I would be happy for Tyler if he had a promise. So I love that the next 2 weeks is when the rumors get super crazy. You and I, we can talk offline a bit more about, you know, what's coming up, because believe it or not, I have two more mock drafts to do before the actual draft in 2 weeks. All right. I want to end this episode with one last question. I've been asking every guest during this pod for On the Clock leading up to the draft what they would do at number one if they were at the Atlanta Hawks. I instead want to drop down to four, and the Spurs, the San Antonio Spurs, are there. They have 4 and 8. They're looking to build around Victor Wembanyama. If you were in the room, if you, Jordan, were in the room advising general manager Brian Wright, are you keeping those picks? Are you packaging them to trade up to potentially number one? Are you getting ball handlers around them? Are you picking French teammates for Victor? What are you doing at 4 and 8 if you're the Spurs?
Man, I hope no agents get mad at me for saying my guy. This has been a player I really liked coming into this, and it's kind of funny because I think things have flipped for him in terms of like what we talk about, but I think you go Stephon Castle.
I love Steph Castle.
I think a lot of teams, I mean, and a lot of people keep bringing up defense, but if we would have talked about Stephon Castle, you know, a year ago, defense was something that he was saying was getting slept on. People were looking at him as more as a point guard, you know, trying to, you know, bring the team together. I think he has more elements to his game that needs to be shown. I think he did a great job playing a role and fulfilling a role, but I think there's a lot more there with him. And I think you need a defender on that team. I think someone that could set the tempo for you guys defensively. We already got Wimby down there too, doing everything. So why not bring an on-ball defender and kind of mesh this together? And you could plug and play him in a lot of spots. And I think he can bring the ball up, make good decisions with his passing reads. And he's a safe player that I know Pop would love. So I'm saying Steph. But, I mean, the trading situation, it just depends. Because do you trade Keldon? You got to package him up with someone else. I know people are going to be kicking and trying to get Vassell. I don't think Vassell's getting touched. So I don't think he's getting traded at all. I'm just saying, like, so for me, I say draft on Stephon Castle. You know what I'm saying? And do that.
If he's not there, if he's not available at 4 and they're hearing somebody else is going to take him, maybe at 3 at Houston, they have the leverage there with the 8 pick and whatever asset they want to trade up and get him. I love Steph. I'm probably higher on them than a lot of other draft analysts or whatever, but I think he is going to be the guy in this draft. All right.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. You got to end? You ended on cast?
That's what I'm ending. That's what I'm mic dropping.
Okay.
I respect it.
I respect it. I respect it. You know, that's why I rock with you. I respect it. Okay, cool.
That is going to do it for today. Jordan, that was so fun. Thank you for coming
on. No, I appreciate it. Always. I appreciate you having me.
You guys can follow Jordan on Twitter at Jordan Richard SC and Swiss Cultures at Swiss Cultures _. Follow me on Twitter too at Kristen Peak. Thanks to Joe behind the scenes to make everything happen. Vince Goodwill will be back tomorrow for a special episode of Good Word with Goodwill, coming off game 4 of the NBA Finals. And until next week, we are out. Thanks for listening.